Blog Talk Radio.
I sit at the feet of kings in the morning, in the dawn of my rise. It comes to the blessed and most learned leaders, godly and wise. Just imagine sitting in the council of righteous kings. Thousands of years condemned in a written testimony. Yow, sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, an amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah, sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, the Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah. Now understanding that which was not known, thought it was me, but there were angels all around. The more I learn, I see how much I don't really know. Came into my life and shake the negative down, blessing me with strength when my weakness is above. These angels, the real people I man I know, the offerings of the righteous, the God's inspired word. So I give unto thee thanks and praise. Sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, an amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah, sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, the Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah, and so me sing with joy, counting my blessings, yeah, yeah. One way is life, no blood. Full grace, full deliverance can be our destiny. For in this life we burn. Beginning of which is the Almighty, yeah, yeah. A blessing for all mankind. A proverbial stand, clear for all we to see. Sing a song of a rejoicing, yeah. Hallelujah, an amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah, sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, the Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah. In the morning, while I'm waking, giving praises, silent talking, conversing in my mind, trying to be real and honest with me, giving time, getting set in my way, in my prayer, in this day. Now look back, for here come it wisdom, extolling, a God bless deliverance, pray. Sing that song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, an amazing grace, I swept over the land. Hallelujah, sing that song of a rejoicing man, yeah. hear that song, see that song, sing that song, live that song, be that song, see that song, sing that song, live that song, live that song, see that song, sing that song, live that song, see that song, see that song, sing that song, yeah.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Yahushua HaMashiach. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, we give praise to your holy name. For you are worthy to be praised by all of your creation. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you, and we praise you for the blessing of love. We praise you, and we thank you for the blessing of Torah. In the name of your Son, we humbly and sincerely submit this prayer to you, and we ask you to forgive each and every one of us for the sins that we have committed against you. And we ask you to cleanse each and every one of us by the blood of Yahushua, of the iniquities that we have committed against you. And we ask you for strength by your Spirit to overcome the works of our flesh, that we may all present our bodies to you, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, that we may prove by the lives that each of us live from day to day, righteousness as we walk upon the narrow and the straight path leading to your salvation. Gracious and merciful Father, if there be any sin, if there be any iniquity that we commit unbeknownst to ourselves that you see, Heavenly Father, because you don't look upon the outward appearance of man, but you search the heart and you search the mind. Therefore, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we pray that you give us the strength that we need, that the inside of this cup, this vessel, be clean, Heavenly Father. Whatever we are doing, unknowingly, unwillingly, contrary to your word, we pray that you bring it forth to the forefront of our mind, that we are aware of it, that we can work to remove it, that we may stand before you with hands upraised, clean hands, holy hand, worthy to stand at your throne. In the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we pray for strength, Heavenly Father, strength to overcome our physical and our spiritual battles, strength to overcome our mental and our emotional battles, strength to overcome that we may all endure until the end, Heavenly Father. Gracious and merciful Father, we pray for the family of Dr. Ken, John Solomon, that you comfort them during the time of their loss, and that you strengthen them by your Spirit, and that you open their hearts, and that you open their minds, and that you lead them to your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, Mashiach Yahusha, that they too be partakers of your salvation. Gracious and merciful Father, we humbly and we sincerely ask you to lead us this day as we begin to go through your word and continue, Heavenly Father, as we were going through and traveling through your word earlier this evening. Gracious and merciful Father, open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous truth from your Torah. For we know and we understand that it is your Torah that is the foundation of all that we believe. Therefore, we pray that you continue to lead us and guide us through it. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon-coming King, Mashiach Yahushua. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Mighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses HaTorah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. And welcome to this special edition of The Truth Shall Prevail. And we pick up on a topic that we haven't touched on in quite a long time. Prophets and prophecy. And today we're going to be looking at false prophets, especially in light of what we've been discussing recently in regard to the lesser light, or the greater light, I should say, the lesser light and the stars, in regard to the calculation of time, which the Torah very specifically lays out. And throughout, be it the Torah or the apocryphal books, gives us examples of how we are supposed to use the sun, the moon, and the stars in the determining of time. Today, this Shabbat, is the last Shabbat of this current year, as we are about to end the 13th month, Adar 2. And next week, early next week, we will be entering into the month of Abib, kicking off the new year. Therefore, I continue to encourage those who are listening to go before the Most High through Yahusha, our Savior and our Redeemer, and ask him to cleanse your heart and your mind and to prepare you as an individual to enter into that new year, to enter into the first month, that we may be worthy to partake of Pesach, which is fast approaching. So for those who are listening, shoot me a text. Let me know whether or not coming through clear and we can move forward with the lesson. We're going to start off with a question. What is a prophet? Simple question. A question that has been asked numerous times and answered numerous times. What is a prophet? Hallelujah. We want to look at the term in context of how Ibri, or the Hebrew language, operates. We've discussed in the past the mechanics of the Hebrew language. The Hebrew language is a biliteral, meaning every word, when you look in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Hebrew Lexicon, for example. It states that the word is a primitive root. But what we've learned throughout the way in which the Most High has been leading us is that every primitive root has at its foundation a biliteral, what we refer to as a parent root. The reason why it's considered a parent root, because it consists of two letters, hence the term biliteral. The two letters are considered to be the father and the mother. In other words, the parent of every other word that is derived from that root. So for our term, prophet, we want to start with the parent root, which is the letter Nun and the letter Bet. Now, the letter Nun, pictographically, is represented by a seed, whereas the letter Bet, again, pictographically, is represented by a tent or a house, if you prefer. When we look at the connotations of those two letters, the seed and the house, and how they're used in composing words, the seed has different references that we can use in connection to it. When we think about a seed and how a seed represents continuity, the continuing of something. Because when you think about a seed of a plant continues the life of that particular species of plant, apple tree, orange tree, etc. You plant that apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree, which produces fruit, as we learned on the third day, the fruit tree, which produces fruit, whose seed is in itself. And that same seed that's within that fruit can be utilized to produce another tree. And so goes the process. In other words, continuity. But in this particular word that we're looking at, the term seed simply means just that, a seed. Whereas the term bet, however, we understand that it means a house. So one concept we can look at is the seed's house. Okay? The seed's house. But when we look at the letter bet, something that we learn about it, grammatically speaking, the letter bet is a letter that can be used as a prefix to a word. And when used as a prefix, the letter bet can mean in or inside. The term nun bet can also be looked at as seed inside. Okay? Now, when you're talking about the Ivri or the Hebrew language, another point of reference we want to keep in mind, there are three ways that you can look at this term. The first way is in regard to the Hebrew language being an active language. Okay? A lot of times we lose sight of that. But when you think about the action of this particular word, the action is to flourish. Now, where do we get that idea from? Well, think about what happens when a seed is planted inside something. That seed brings forth life, or it flourishes. So there's an action there. Again, the Hebrew language is an active language, a dynamic language, opposed to the static language that we refer to as Greek. Something else we want to keep in mind. The Hebrew language is also very concrete. And to put it in layman's terms, Ivri says what it means and means what it says. It's something that we can relate to. It's something that we can touch, something that's tangible. This is how the Most High intended for his word to be, not something that's off limits or out of reach. So when we consider the concrete meaning of this term, nun bet, it simply means fruit. Fruit is the result of flourishing, but a fruit also has a seed inside. It is housing that seed. Abstractly, however, which brings us to our answer to the question, what is a prophet? As an abstract term, and we think about the term abstract, it means something is ethereal, so to speak, or in another way, we could say spiritual, has another meaning, something that is not as concrete, something that is not as relatable. Nevertheless, it has meaning. And that abstract meaning is prophecy. Now, when you look at the term in its formation, that nun and that bet are now connected to an aleph. Out of all the letters it could have been connected to, it's connected to an aleph, and it forms the term Naba, Naba. You can find that term in number 5012. And it's listed as being a primitive root, which we now understand is derived from the parent root of the nun and the bet. But just the inclusion of that particular letter, see, that letter is very significant as we learned in the past, because that is the primary, that is the first, the letter that is a symbol of none other than the Creator himself, the Aleph, the ox head, strength, which is why it also forms the first letter of the term Elohim, Adonai, two of the titles used throughout the course of Holy Scripture to describe the Most High. Term Nun Bet Aleph, pronounced Naba, is defined as to prophesy. That is, speak or sing by inspiration, in prediction or simple discourse. Let me read that again. To prophesy means to speak or sing by inspiration, in prediction, or simple discourse. This most commonly refers to the way in which the word of Yahweh came to the people. Now, when you go to number 5030, we get to utilize one of our Hebraic skills grammatically. You take that nun and that bet, and you add that yod as an infix right before that aleph. Now you have the term nabi or nabiya. In other words, if the term naba means to prophesy or to speak by inspiration, that implies that the term nabi or nabiya means one who speaks or sings by inspiration. Hence, a prophet, and as it has here, inspired man. And throughout Holy Scripture, the meaning is consistently one of the prophet and inspired spokesperson of the Most High Scriptures. You add a hey to the end of that, Nabiyah, and you have the term prophetess, meaning a woman who is still one who speaks or sings by inspiration. Now, let's add something to that, because we know that within Holy Scripture, there is a prophetic element. And what I mean by that is this. as we've discussed in the past. Holy Scripture, foremost, has to be accepted for what it says literally. That's rule number one. We have to believe what the Torah teaches literally first. But we also understand, as Brother Shaul brings forth, for we know that the Torah is spiritual, meaning, although we look at it literally for what we can learn practically, we can learn in regards to history, there is also an undertone, see, which is why we oftentimes speak of pulling back the pages or pulling a layer, see. Think about when you're opening up a fruit. See? That fruit is colored. Let's take an orange or apple. A lot of times, people like to take the peeling off first before they get to that delicious, sweet nectar. You see? All of these physical things that the Most High put on this planet are to teach us something physically, first and foremost, with the intent and purpose of uplifting our hearts and our minds that we can see how he sees spiritually. But because we are physical beings and we are tied and connected to the physical world, he gives us a physical classroom. Life's a lesson. That's another one for you, Brother Bruce. Remember that one? Back in the day, Brother sent out a text earlier reminiscent about Israel's hope, you know. But yeah, life is a lesson. And the Most High is teaching us through everything he has placed at man's disposal. So, looking at the physical example that we have a fruit. We have the concept of a seed being inside, right? In other words, think of it this way. When it's time for the Most High to reveal to his people, he goes out to his garden. We do know that the Most High has a garden, correct? He started off man in that garden, correct? We do know that within that garden, there are a multitude of trees. And from these trees, there are a multitude of fruit. So he goes out to that garden when it's time to reveal to his people, and he picks a fruit. Consider that this is an analogy of what it is that's being done. Because that fruit has something. That fruit has a seed inside. So when Mashiach Yahusha gave a parable about the sower that went forth to sow, he gets to this one particular point where he starts to break down what this parable means to his Talmudim, his disciples, his students. And he gets to chapter 8 and verse 11. This is coming from Lucas or Luke. And he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of Yah. The seed is the word of Yah. So now, when we go back to our definition for the prophet, and we go back to that parent root, that nun, and that bet, and that seed inside, or that seed being housed by that fruit, we should now get a better picture because concretely, the word means the fruit. And what determines the fruit? The seed being inside. Correct? A tomato is a fruit. A cucumber is a fruit. The seed is inside. Correct? Well, we're not getting into the vegetation right now. But the point is this. When it comes to a prophet, this man or this woman, prophet, prophetess, is considered to be such because something is inside of that person. His word is inside that person. The only way the word of Yah can be in a person, Yah has to put it there. He has to do that. Let's go to another one of my favorite passages. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, this is Brother Shaul, and why I like this so much is because what he's doing, he's actually quoting something that Yeshayahu was initially given. You see? In Yeshayahu chapter 64 and verse 4, this is where Brother Shaul gets this from. But Brother Shaul says this. He says, but as it is written, I, talking about the physical I, hath not seen, nor ear heard, talking about the physical ear, neither has entered into the heart of man, and the heart, talking about that mind, things which Elohim has prepared for them that love him. Now, he goes further in verse 10. He says, but Elohim has revealed unto us by his spirit. When it comes to the word, Mashiach asked a question. The Murei touched on this last Shabbat. Who do men say that I am? They said this, they said that. Then he said, who do you say that I am? Brother Kepha stood up. You are Mashiach, Son of the Living Mighty One. He didn't pat Brother Kepha on the back and say, well done, my brother. You've been studying hard to come up with that answer. Not what he said. He said flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. In other words, this is what he just did. He summarized it. This is what he was saying. The eye didn't see it. The ear didn't hear it. It didn't enter into your heart by anything that you have done. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Brother Kepha. How did you get that? My Father in the heavens put that there. He put it in you. What we have to understand as Bible believers, Bible students, and I want to emphasize Bible students, we don't get the word just because we pick it up and we read it. We don't get that understanding just because somebody recites it if you use an audio Bible. He got to put that there for you. And from what we're going to learn and what we're going to see today, he only puts it in particular people. And those people that he puts that word into, they are called Nabi, prophets, or Nabiyah, prophetess. That's what they're called. Prophets, prophetess. Men, women, they are moved by the Holy Spirit. That is a very exclusive group because everybody has not been charged with that task. That's a harsh reality for a lot of people, but it's the truth, as we're going to see. Let's go to Yechezkel or Ezekiel, starting at chapter 3 and verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this groan and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that groan. And he said unto me, son of man, cause your belly to eat and fill your bowels with this scroll that I give you. Then did I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said to me, son of man, go, get to the house of Israel and speak my words unto them. Now, I'm going to stop right here just to emphasize the fact that up to this point, the Most High is speaking to him. The Most High told him to eat the scroll I give you. So when you think about a scroll, if he's telling him, and let's understand, this is a vision that Yechezkel is having. He didn't actually have him eat a roll of paper. This is symbolic. What it symbolizes is the creator of the heavens and the earth giving this man, who we know to be a prophet, giving him his word, telling him to eat it. Why eat it? Because he wants that word to be inside of him. That scroll. But then he goes further. And then verse 4, he says, and speak with my words to them. He says, let's continue. Verse 5, for you are not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have hearkened to you. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto you, for they will not hearken unto me. Do we understand the significance of what the Creator is saying? He is acknowledging, as he continues, he says, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. That's us. That's our people. That was our forefathers. That's where we come from. That's our stock. See? That's our pedigree. We come from a group of people that he calls stiff-necked, hard-hearted. That's our history. Okay? And why is that being emphasized? Because when you look at those who are rising up today who refer to themselves as Hebrew Israelites, black Jews, whatever term they prefer, that same characteristic, impudent and hard-hearted, is still present in the majority of us. Okay? Let's go to Chazon or Revelation chapter 10 to see what he teaches Yohanan or Brother John. Starting at verse 1, he says, and I saw another mighty angel. And I saw another mighty angel come down from the heavens, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to get into everything that was said, but we want to go down to verse 9 because we're trying to make a particular point here. Of course, you know that verses 4 through 8, you can read at your convenience, okay? In verse 9, it says, and I went unto the Malach and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it up, and it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. Now, in this particular vision, he added something. When he gave it to Yechezkel, all we learned was it's going to be sweet to the taste. But when he gave it to Yohanan, now he's expounding on that. Not only is it going to be sweet in your mouth, sweet as honey, he said, it shall make your belly bitter. See, why is that? See, there's some aspects of the word that when you learn about it, it's a sweetness. See, we love to hear about salvation. The fact that this wretched man or this wretched woman that we are has an opportunity to still be in the kingdom of Yah. We love to hear those stories. We love to hear those stories when he shows how he delivers us from our problems. Whatever situation that's going on in your life, you have somebody who's going to help you get out of that situation. That's sweetness to us. We like the taste of that. But there's another part of that word that we don't like. That's the part when we have to obey his voice. We don't always like to hear what we can do and what we can't do. See, that's the bitterness. We don't always want to hear that we have to cut this thing out of our life and cut that thing out of our life. We don't like to hear that part. That's the bitterness. If your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. The same mighty one who laid his life down told us that. If your right hand offend you, cut it off. Same one. Some people say, well, what about bitter and sweet? That's not bitter and sweet. That's truth. See? That's reality. There's some things in this world system, as the brother was touching on last night, we've got to get rid of. But we don't like that part. So he says it's going to be bitter to your belly. He says, verse 10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Again, you see an example of somebody that was given the word, be it a book, be it a scroll. They were commanded to eat it. They ate it. And then the commandment came right after that, speak my word. When it says here, you must prophesy, simplify that, speak my word. That's all he said. Now, here's a question. True prophet or prophetess has the word of Yah inside. Whose word does a false prophet have inside? Now, meditate on that a little bit. If a true prophet or prophetess has the word of Yah inside, whose word does a false prophet have inside? So let's go to Yahushua chapter 24. Let's see what Mashiach, Yahushua, put us in regard to that. Verse 1, and Yahushua left the temple and was going away. The Talmudim came and called his attention to his builders. But he answered them, you see all these? Yes, I tell you, they will be totally destroyed. Not a single stone will be standing. Verse 3, when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the Talmudim came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that you are coming and that the Olam Hazeh, or in other words, this age is ending? Yahushua replied, watch out! Let anyone fool you. Think about that. In the King James Version, it's worded, take heed that no man deceive you. See, and if you look up that word deceive, what you find, it means to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. In other words, take heed that no man cause you to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, all of which we find in the word of Yah, the Torah. He warns them that a great deception is in place. He says, verse 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. Look at the world today if you don't believe that the word of Yahushua is the truth. Look at the world. That's all. Don't take my word for it. Take a look at the world you're living in. That's all you need to do. Look at the world around you. You can call this book outdated. You can call it antiquated. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But look at the world. That's what you do. Look at it. See how people are being led astray. Put a finger right there. Let's go back a few chapters. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and I'm just going to read verses 21 to 23. We talked about that a few weeks ago. He said, not everyone who says to me, Adonai, Adonai, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Only those who do what my Father in the heavens wants. On that day, many will say to me, Adonai, Adonai, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? Then I will tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. Hear that? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24, picking up in verse 6. And this is, again, Mashiach. He's continuing to expound upon what it is they need to look out for. You're going to have a mass deception, he said. He says, verse 6, you will hear the noise of wars nearby and the news of wars far off. See to it that you don't become frightened. Such things must happen, but the end is yet to come. We hear that today. Now, I'm not sure how many people watch the news. I don't watch the news as often, but ever so often when I do catch the news, national news, international news, somebody somewhere fighting. So it's not unusual. There's nothing that's going on in the world today that is really alarming or surprising, at least to a believer, if they follow the word. In verse 7, he said, for peoples, look up that word, it's ethnos. And they define that as being race. That's where the term ethnic or ethnicity comes from. For peoples will fight each other. The brother touched on that last night. See, everybody wants to represent their ethnicity. So it's not just Black Lives Matter, it's Asian Lives Matter too. See, I didn't even realize until my wife let me know that Asians were being attacked because they are being blamed for the coronavirus. I didn't know that. You know, I did hear something in the air in regard to, you know, Asian Lives Matter, but I never knew why they were being attacked. So I was surprised to find that out. But nevertheless, the point is, you see the word of the Most High coming to fruition. He said, for peoples will fight each other, nations that were basilia or countries will fight each other, and there will be famines. Again, referencing your national and your international news. At one point, I believe Brother Dewar, he would send out little news articles in regard to shortages of food in different areas. This has been months ago when he did that. But these things you don't really hear being publicized. But something's going on, which is part of the reason why the food co-op was started, so that we can make preparations, because we know it's coming. The Torah is very explicit in the fact that there's going to be some famines. It may not have touched us yet, but it's coming. He says, and I just want to reference this, in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, this is just a reference at a side point in connection to what we're talking about in regard to famine. He says, behold, the days come, saith Adonai, Yahweh, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yahweh. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yahweh, and shall not find it. Think about that. So when we think about famine, what we have to learn now, going back to the example of how the Most High created this physical world to teach us what's going on spiritually. If there's a famine of physical food, If you had mankind genetically modifying physical food, making it not fit for consumption, what is the Most High telling us that they've done to his word? Think about that. And let's go back to the example of no or fruit. How can you genetically modify that it not have seed inside? Think about that. Is that an analogy for these people going around here claiming to be spokesperson for the Most High, but in actuality, his word is not in them? Is that why we had genetically modified fruits with no seeds? Because you got people who are supposed to be teaching the word, and the word is not even in them. Think about it. Why do these things exist? And as Bible believers or Bible students, we supposed to question these things whenever they occur. Because whether you want to accept it or not, Yisra'el has been chosen to be the watchman of this world. We are the guardians of the galaxy. To borrow a superhero reference, when we understand what Abba has entrusted us with, think about it. You know, why does he tell us to guard so much? Now, the way that they translate it in the King James Version, we don't realize he's saying to guard things. When he says to keep my commandments, if you look up that word keep, see, and let me say this before I go to the word shema, which means to hedge about. See, and years ago, when they say to keep something, even when we say it today, but it kind of loses its emphasis, for lack of a better way of saying it. We say, hey, could you keep this for me? And somebody say, oh, I'll keep it for you. I'm just going to take it, and I'm just going to put it up on the shelf somewhere. But when somebody says, I want you to keep this, back during the old English time, what they're telling you, I want you to keep it. I want you to protect it. I want you to guard it. So think about it. He has entrusted Yisra'el with his word, and he said, keep it, protect it, hedge it about. The guardians. So how can we protect it? See, how we protect his word, we can't stop people from disobeying it. But we can make sure that we're doing what it says so that we can be that light shining in this darkened world. That's how we maintain it, to do what it says. That's how we do that. So he give us that commission because we are the guardian of this system. The only reason this system still exists is because we are still here. You don't believe that? He said, the world is heading toward mass destruction. If the Most High didn't intervene, you know what man going to do? We're going to kill ourselves. Think about it. Everybody wants the nuclear weapons. Everybody wants the nuclear codes. Because at some, they want to be, you know, in the position to say, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to push this button. If you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to push this button. And if the Creator just set back and allowed it, everybody be pushing those buttons. We'll be pushing that button. Russia will be pushing that button. Korea and everybody else who has this nuclear weapons, they be pushing that button. And you know what's going to happen? The world is going to be destroyed because we couldn't live anywhere because of the radioactivity. But I'm not going to allow that. So he said, elect's sake, those days are going to be short. You see? In another place, he said that we are the salt of this world. See? In other words, like one of the Murray brought out recently, we give the world its flavor. The only reason that this planet still exists is because his people are here. So we're guardians because we have his word. But let's continue. We want to talk about false prophets. He says, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. Let's pick back up in verse 7. He says, for people will fight each other, nations will fight each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various parts of the world. Now, years ago, I don't know how many years, Brother Ahav, you may know, he introduced me to this app called QuakeFeed, right? Do you all realize that there are earthquakes in the world every single day? And in different places, every single day, there are earthquakes. Now, you have some that may be like 2 point something, 4 point something, et cetera. But when you get to the 5 point something, 6 point something, they happen every day. But we don't know that because we're not really following that. We don't really keep up with that. Well, thankfully, the brother shared that app with me, and I've been keeping up with it. Matter of fact, when a major earthquake happens, I get a notification on my phone. Because Abba's word is true. That's the point. His word is true. Well, let's continue. Verse 8. He said, but all this is but the beginning of the birth pains. At that time, you will be arrested and handed over to be punished and put to death. That time is coming again. Trust and believe. Yeah, and keep in mind what the brother brought forth last night. You see? How we are Torah terrorists. See? Keep in mind that. That's what we're going to be looked at as. See? He says, at that time you will be arrested and handed over to be punished and put to death. And all people will hate you because of me. In other words, we are the representatives of the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the world hates the Most High. That's what he's telling us. The world hates him. And if we are his representatives, they will hate us too. Verse 10, at that time, many will be trapped into betraying and hating each other. Many false prophets will appear and fool many people. Do you hear that? Many false prophets will appear and fool many people. And many people's love will grow cold because of increased distance from Torah. You hear that? But whoever holds out till the end will be delivered. And this good news about the kingdom will be announced throughout the whole world as a witness to all the goyim. It is then that the end will come. Okay, let's drop down to verse 24, still on the lines of the false prophet. It says, for there will appear false messiahs and false prophets, performing great miracles, amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen, if possible. You hear that? Even the chosen, possible. Think about that. Think about it. We live in during a time we don't even realize it. We are surrounded by false messiahs and false prophets. Think about any person. Let me give you an example of somebody who is a false messiah, and you don't even think of him as a false messiah. Trump. Do you all realize it's funny, but at the same time, it's sad. Now, and in their defense, I'm going to say this. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if these people are acting. But I've seen so much evidence of people who are supporters of Trump still going around now with the Trump 2024 now, still putting this man on the pedestal. You got some people who still believe he's secretly still the president and that Biden doesn't have the nuclear launch code, Biden can't go to the Pentagon, and all this foolishness that's circulating. But I'm saying this to just give you an example. That's what it means to be a false messiah. He moved beyond becoming just a political figure. Think about it. What other president that's the author and people was doing all of this type of stuff? President gets in, service term, leave office. That's the last you hear about him. Not this one. This is different. And that's just one example. People gain followers in different areas. See? Nicki Minaj has a following. Do y'all know that? Beyonce has a following. Do y'all know that? But these people, we wouldn't consider them as false messiahs because they're not preaching no message. They don't have to preach a message pertaining to a belief in God. You have people who will fight you to the death about some Beyonce. They call them the Beehive or something along those lines. That's false messiah. They got power. They lead a group of people. But we don't look at them in that capacity. These people are not trying to turn people to the Most High. They're capitalizing off of all of that attention, all of that fame. See? And if they don't get themselves together, just like the brother died a day or so ago, you know, DMX, condolences to the brother's family. But at some point, we all going to push that clock. It's not unusual. That happens to each and every one of us. But let's get back to the point. There are false messiahs and false prophets. And listen to what he said. They're going to be performing great miracles, and they're going to be amazing things so as to fool even the chosen if possible. In other words, these are going to be so good at what they do. It's going to be so close to what it is that the Most High has established. And maybe not even so close. Maybe it's just going to be so influential. See? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be close to the truth. People just have to believe in it. Look at how they do Dr. Fabi today. You would think Dr. Fabi was a prophet. Sure, he understood some things in regard to the alkaline versus the acidic and the best foods and things like that. But he was not a prophet. He was not a servant of the Most High to my knowledge. And if he was, then Father, forgive me for slandering this man's name. But my point in interjecting him is how people treat him. And there are many others that we can name. But look at the influence that they had. That's what we got to keep in mind. It's that influence. But it said, so as to fool even the chosen, if possible. Why is it that the elect can't be fooled? Because the elect are those who are genuinely connected to the Most High. In other words, they have that word in them. And see, what we got to understand, when we have the word in us, how do we get the word in us? It's by Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. You mean that very same spirit that the Bible teaches us that the men, the prophets of old, they spoke as they was moved by the Holy Spirit? Yes, that's the spirit that we had. So if that spirit was responsible for moving these men to write down what we're reading every Shabbat or whenever we study the word, what is that telling us? He putting that word in us. In other words, let's go to another passage. He referred to the Ruach HaKodesh, or the spirit, as being the spirit of his son. That means Yahushua HaMashiach is in us. How are you going to fool Yahushua HaMashiach? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Do we understand what that means? Sometimes we lose sight of that. That's a simple truth. Who dwells within us by the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting about it is how he reveals that nun that we talked about earlier, that seed that so happens to be one of the manifestations of Mashiach, that he actually puts in us, every one of us. So how can he have that much seed to go around? So he gave us another analogy. He said the Holy Spirit was like water. How much water we got to go around? Huh? The land is surrounded by water. Water so great, so massive, man can't even reach the depths of the ocean floor. There's a limit to how far he can go, even on the physical realm, let alone the outer space, the heavens, let alone that. Limitations. But here's the other piece to that, too. whatever the Most High revealed in his word. Okay? He said, the secret things belong to me, but whatever I reveal belongs to you and your children forever, right? Whatever he has revealed in his word, he gave it to us so that we can study and so we can learn about it. Something that I believe it may have been Rabbi Gershom and Daniel who taught this. Now, some of you remember, you correct me if this is wrong. But whenever a question is asked in Holy Scripture, the answer to that question also resides in Holy Scripture. Does anybody ever remember that teaching? Whenever a question is presented in Holy Scripture, the answer to that question is also in Holy Scripture. Now, the question or the answer to the question may not be as apparent, but it's there. No different than when we talk about the first verse of the Bible, right? In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And then you get to the second verse, right? But then that second verse begins something that is the consequence of what happened between verses 1 and 2. But what happened between verses 1 and 2 is in Holy Scripture. But in Abba's wisdom, the way that he put it in Holy Scripture, you learn by the account of the people in the Bible. Tells you exactly what took place between verses 1 and 2. But let's go back to how we get that. He has to reveal that to us. In other words, he has to put that in you. See? And that goes right back to the whole concept of what it means to be a prophet or to be a spokesperson. Sometimes you may speak some things and people, they want to question it. And let me say this. Questioning is good. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. He says, you have not because you ask not. In other words, you're not making the right question. Somebody just sent me a text in regard to the game of Jeopardy. The game of Jeopardy is played by asking the right question. You see? Ask the right question. Let's keep it moving. Now, we're talking about false prophets now. We've moved into the area where the Messiah, he's talking about many false prophets, many false messiahs. So let's reference Matthew. Let's go back a little further, chapter 7, and starting at verse 15. He says, beware of the false prophet. Still teaching. He says, they come to you wearing sheep's clothing. And when you read this, anybody within my age bracket, if you're old enough, and you remember seeing those TV shows, those cartoons, where you had the wolf trying to get up into the place where the sheep and everything. I can't even think about where the herd is. I can't even think about what you call it, man. But you see him, and he had this little, he had just enough of the sheepskin on, where you see that he's supposed to be a sheep, but you can also see that it's a wolf. Now, that's done for comedic purposes, of course. But the point is this. In the cartoons, they were supposed to not even recognize that he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's the point we want to drive home in regard to what Mashiach is saying. He said, beware of the false prophet. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing. In other words, you may not have the eye to see that these people are actually false prophets. Because they're going to come to you quoting some scripture, and they're going to be sounding good putting that scripture together. They're going to be articulate. They're going to be able to take you to different places in the Word to establish different things for you. And in your mind, because you're not rooted in that Word, you can be led astray. Abba taught us that the adversary can quote his Word. When Mashiach was in the wilderness and he was being tempted, and the first thing that the adversary did, he hit him with that Word. Then the adversary said, okay, I see what you're doing. Watch how I can use the Word. And the next thing he did, he used scripture to try to deceive him. But of course, Mashiach defeated him once again with the word. But my point in interjecting that was to show that the adversary knows the word. We're going to see another passage later on. He knows the word. So it's not unusual for somebody to come among you and they have the outfit of a prophet. Now, when I say that they have the outfit, they're going to come Afrocentric. That's how they're going to come. Because, see, for some reason, when people see somebody dressed up in what seems to be Afrocentric or Middle Eastern wear, they get the idea, oh, this person must know something. And don't let them be articulate. Don't let them be like a Malcolm X, so to speak, who when he was incarcerated, he studied the dictionary from A to Z to become familiar with the languages. Don't let them be like a Michael Eric Dyson, who's very poetic when he speaks, using very intellectual terms. Don't let them be like that. You have people falling out over you if you speak that well. And you're putting these things together, you're coming in the appearance, see? He said, they come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath, they are hungry wolves. Well, listen to what he's saying. You will recognize them by their fruit. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? You got to understand who's talking. When we hear Mashiach talking, this is what we got to keep in mind. I had a conversation with a brother earlier this week. Everything that Mashiach does, everything that Mashiach said, is the Torah. That's the foundation of it. Now, we just started off talking about fruit and what that means. See, a prophet is considered to be the fruit of the Most High, if you understand what I'm saying. That's what the prophet is. He said, you will recognize them by their fruit. So we were taught something years ago, going back to our beloved Rabbi Gershom and Daniel. All you have to do, brothers and sisters, let somebody talk. Listen to them. You don't have to be so quick to try to combat somebody in the word. You don't have to do that. Listen to them. Let them speak, and they will show you exactly who they are. The question is, are we going to accept what they reveal? So you recognize somebody. And here's what has to go with that. There's a passage that says that many false prophets are going out into the world, right? Now, you hear people say, try the spirit by the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we learned something years ago. This is how you try the spirit. You try the spirit by the word. Listen to them. Allow them to speak. Allow them to share with you who they are and see whether or not you're hearing the word. But hold up, brother. Didn't you just say they can quote this and they can quote that? Absolutely, they can do that. We've come across many groups, hallelujah, praise glory and honor be to our Heavenly Father for the pathway that he's taken us. And that's what a lot of people don't realize and they don't understand. But let me not get off on that tangent because you know how it can be sometimes. So we came across a lot of people. And we've always had an open door policy with Beth Yahweh. Some people condemn us for that. They just let anybody in their congregation. No, because he said the door should be open. We're not going to let somebody, we're not going to cast somebody out because we assume how they're going to be. We know people are coming to us filthy and dirty. We came in the doors filthy and dirty. So don't get it twisted. You are the righteous walking into the door. You were filthy. You were dirty and you needed to be cleaned up. We all did. So no, we don't say, don't come in. You want to come in? Come on in. Have a seat. You like something to drink? You like something to eat? Fine. You sit, you learn. But in the course of that sitting and learning, one of the things that we find out, the unclean spirit ain't going to stay there for so long. So people leave. Put the blame on whatever you want to put it on. When you are a human being, trust and believe, when you got a group that you're around, a variety of people, right? As human beings, when you get to a certain age, you're supposed to know you're going to have some issues with somebody. You're going to have issues. You're not going to get around a group of people and not have conflict because we all are not the same. But the question is this, how do you resolve those conflicts? That's the question. It's not that the conflict's not going to, the Most High said, man, you never promised us a rose garden, remember? You're going to have issues. Look at the Corinthian church. Why do you think that story is there? Why do you think Brother Shaw, he's writing to this group of people, they got issues in there. They're divided. I'm of this person. I'm of that person. Well, I'm of this person. Hold up. What you mean? We're supposed to all be of Mashiach. So you're going to have that in the church. That's significant. See? People having their little cliques in the church. How are you going to have a clique in the body? We all supposed to be one giant clique. The clique of Yahusha HaMashiach, that's the clique. Not in your separate little groups. That's not of his word. But you're going to have that, see? But some people, they come in, they see that, and then they stick their nose up as if that's beneath them. No, you just showed your hand. That's how prideful you are. But you know what the words say? If you are a believer in the word, pride comes before fall. So if you think you all that and high society, guess what? Somebody about to smack you down. And it ain't none of us. See? It's none of us. See? But the point is this. When it comes to this way that we're coming into, and I'm learning this, you know, and I'm going to ask a question in a minute. I'm learning this because I don't want people to be so quick to just cast people off. And, you know, we don't want to do that. We want to learn to be patient. Why is that? Why is patience so important? One, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. See? One of the fruit of the Spirit. To be patient with one another. You know why? Because the Creator is being patient with us because all of our poops stink. I don't care who you are. This brother sure like to talk about poop stinking all the time. Yeah, the reason why is because that's the great equalizer, you know? How did I learn that? I was a janitor. I had to go in the bathroom behind the people who was at the lowest position in the company to the people at the highest positions in the company. Now, I don't care if you're the CEO and you sit in the biggest office and you're the lowest person that's working on the floor in the factory. Your poop stinks because I had to go in there and clean up after you. That's how Yahweh taught me that, from experience. That's why I mention it, because it's something that I can relate to. So it don't make a difference who you are. In the eyes of the Creator, we are dirty until we accept his Son. When we accept his Son, he ain't looking at us anymore. He's looking at his Son, who becomes our advocate now, who stands to plead our case. That doesn't justify now, because some people hear that and say, okay, well, hold up, brother. You said a week or so ago, we're supposed to be perfect keeping that word. You're absolutely right. We're supposed to be. But that's where the graciousness and the mercifulness and the compassion comes in. He know we ain't going to step in the door and say, bing, perfection. Shoot as you walk in the door, they got it. No, he understands it's a process. But while we go through the process, is y'all sure say, hold up, Father. Don't kill him. I'm still working with him. He's going to get there. And then he moves upon us, and he convicts us by his, can get on the right track and do what it is we're supposed to do, because he wants perfection. He demands perfection. Let's not get it twisted. But he's long-suffering, which is why we're supposed to be long-suffering with one another. Okay? Now, you know them by their fruits. And the point that we were about to make, somebody may not be as versed in the word, which is why if you're young in the faith and you come across somebody and they're talking to you about this and that, bring it to the congregation. Ask the Mure before you just jump on the bandwagon because they presented something that's so spectacular to you, you're ready to jump ship and follow this group of people now. Not realizing you fell for the bells and whistles. Not realizing you fell for the sheep, for the wolf, I'm sorry, that's wearing the sheep's clothing. See? You didn't realize that that person that you spoke to, when they get home, they take off their costume and they reveal who they really are. You didn't realize that. We're going to see something in a moment. Let's continue. He said, beware of the false prophets. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Pay attention to what he's saying. He says, likewise, every healthy tree produces good fruit. We already know what the fruit's supposed to be produced. But a poor tree produces bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, or a poor tree good fruit. Any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. So you will recognize them by their fruit. In other words, if they are truly a fruit or a prophet of the Most High, you can recognize that. And let me tell you something that Mashiach said. And this is what we got to keep in mind. Before I say that, one of the things that we learned years ago. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise, glory, and honor be to your holy and your most precious name, Heavenly Father, through Yahusha, our Mashiach, for sending us a teacher who was willing to submit to your divine will, who was willing to speak your word and establish within his students, his children, a foundation that we stand on and we can go back to this very day. Hallelujah, for leading us and guiding us the pathway that you took us and not getting caught up with the Hebrew Israelites or the black Jews. He didn't lead us that way. He led us to go the way of the white Jews. Why is that? Why did he lead us that direction? We could have easily got caught up with those who said they was black Jews. We could have easily got caught up with the Hebrew Israelites. He protected us from that. He wanted to establish something else in us. See? Hallelujah for our doing that. Most of the time, we'll see why. But here's the thing. When it comes to recognizing somebody, whether they be a true prophet or not, Mashiach said this. He said, I don't need none of y'all to bear witness of me. My Father will bear witness of me. See? I say that to say this. When it comes to acknowledging whether somebody is truly sent from the Most High or not, the Creator himself will verify that. He will do that. You want to know? Ask about it. He said, you have not because you ask not. You want to know whether or not somebody's being led by the Creator? Ask the Creator. Father, are you leading this person? Ask him. That's all you need to do. Ask him. It is the Creator who bears witness of his servants. See? He said, again, so you will recognize them by their fruit. And all of that was just said because some people may not be versed in the word. So you bring the question, you bring whatever you are learning that's new to the Murei of the congregation so that we can answer those questions and possibly remove a lot of the confusion that comes about. But you have to bring it to the table. You have a responsibility to do that. You do as an individual. Okay? But anyway, the question that I wanted to bring up, is it possible for a true spokesman of Yahusha to be in error? And think about that before you just be so quick to answer. Is it possible for a true spokesman of Yahusha to be in error? Now, the answer to the question is yes. But, now, so most people, their minds are thinking, but, and there's a major conjunction right here. They're being moved by Ruach HaKodesh. Yahusha will guide them to the truth. Now, I say that to say this. There was a point in time when we were doing certain things, right? That doesn't mean that we weren't being led by the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we have to come to understand. When we come across these new people that we come across and things like that, they may be at a certain place in our walk, in their walk, right? They may not have came to certain information, or vice versa. We may not have came to certain information. Because at one point, y'all remember, we was rocking the Star of David faithfully. You look at pictures of the old synagogue, on 847 North Carlton Avenue, we had a picture of the Star David right on the front of the pulpit, where the word was coming from. Does that mean that the word wasn't coming forth from there? Of course not. But this is what we have to understand. When he said to come out of her, my people, we look at it like this. Draw the line in the sand, bam. Come out of her, my people. You got two sides, the way of the adversary, the way of the Most High. It's okay. Come out of her, my people. You step from one side to the other side, and then, bam, automatically, you got everything. That's not what the word teaches. Some people may have issues hearing that. Let's listen to what Mashiach said about what the word teaches, right? He says, if you continue in my word. And for some reason, this particular point has been made often because something that the Creator has been putting on my heart and mind. He says, if you continue in my word, that's the first part. We have to continue an emphasis on his word. He says, then are you my disciples. Stop right there. If we continue in his word, what that does, that makes us worthy of becoming his disciples, his students. If you're sticking with me, now I know you're serious about being a, think about those martial arts movies that you used to watch. Matter of fact, what immediately comes to mind, the Karate Kid. Karate Kid wants to learn from Mr. Miyagi. I want to learn how to hurt people. I want to learn how to Mr. Miyagi said, come on here and rake these leaves. Come on, Mr. Miyagi, I'm ready to learn how to fight. I'm going to punch. I'm going to kick. Coming out here and wax on and wax off. Not realizing, Mr. Miyagi wants to know, okay, are you serious about this thing? See, when people want to walk in the door. I remember years ago, people bust, that's the image there. People bust in the door. Boom, we want to learn about the Kabbalah and the Zohar and this and that. Hold up, y'all just walk in the door. And y'all talking about these things. Come on in. Let us offer you a seat. Let us offer you something to drink. Let us offer you something to eat. And let's see if you're really serious about it. And I'm emphasizing that because none of those people are here today. None of them. But they bust in the door, said they want the deep things of the Most High. You got to be worthy of the deep things. So this is what you need to do. Continue in my word. Let me see if you continue. Then I'm going to let you know whether or not you're worthy to be a student. And if you're worthy of being a student, then I will reveal my truth to you. Then my truth will make you free. Point being, it's a process. What you getting all out for, brother? Here, the point is this. We got this idea. We're going to jump from being in darkness to being in light and just have everything. We're not going to have everything right away. But if you continue with him, he's going to eventually show you, get rid of the star. Got you. Get rid of that. You need to be mindful of how you're observing these holy days. Let me show you how it really goes. Got you. Getting rid of that. You understand? Continuing in his word that we learn. So there may be things that we come across, right? We may come across some people, they haven't gotten to that yet. We don't dismiss them. We don't discount them. And hallelujah, we haven't. Which is why the doors have been wide open. But what you find, when they realize we ain't bending on the name Jesus, I don't care what information you have to try to justify translation being acceptable, we're not bending on that. That wasn't his name. So when we speak against it, don't get upset about it. Accept it because it's the truth. But some people don't accept that, and they leave, or they discontinue the fellowship. It's not because we didn't accept them. We knew that they accepted that. But it didn't prevent us from fellowshipping. That's the point. See, but what you come to realize, everybody's not ready to give up everything. Okay? And more importantly, if it comes time that we need to give up things, how willing are we going to be to give it up? Okay? So, is it proper for a true spokesperson of Yahusha to be in error? Yes. But if they're being moved by Ruach HaKodesh, Yahusha will guide them to the truth. So as a human being, we're going to make mistakes. We may see something, and it may not be what we thought we saw. So you end up coming back and having to apologize, as I've had to do on numerous occasions. And every time I did that, y'all don't know the mental and emotional wreckage that was doing to me. And my wife, she can tell you about stepping down so many times. You don't realize it. But if it wasn't, that's why I said what I said about her last week. She don't realize how much of help she's been to me. Because when I was in those moments of weakness, she was that rock, unbeknownst to all of you, to give me the encouragement. She didn't even realize how important she was to me during those times. Because the thought was, when you say something that is wrong, how are people going to ever believe you? That's what I wrestled with. But Abba said, son, you may have been incorrect about it that time. But now you're telling them the right thing. So forget about it. Keep it moving. So that's what we do. We keep it moving. So he says in Yuchana, or John chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It's the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to that. Spirit of truth, when he says that, it's the Holy Spirit. He said, he will guide you into all truth. You hear that? For he shall not speak of himself. So when we have the Holy Spirit ain't this entity like people like to say that's a separate and distinct. No, he ain't speaking of himself. He's speaking whatever he's being taught. Do you understand that? Isn't that the exact same thing that Mashiach said, though? I don't speak anything of my own. I speak what my Father commands me to speak. I do what I see my Father do. Isn't that what he taught us? But anyway, just chew on that so we can understand what it is that we've been given. Now, the false prophet or prophetess, however, will continue in as he or she are not being led by Yahushua HaMashiach. So what you do, you come across different people in your walk, and you watch them. Now, you don't. That don't mean you go behind them with a microscope, but let me tell you, this is what the Creator does. You don't have to be around a person. Y'all remember this prophecy? I'm running out of time. Y'all remember this prophecy? And there was a prophet that the Most High was using. And I can't remember the nation. Somebody out there may know the nation, but that's not important. The king of that nation was talking in his bedchambers. The Most High revealed to that prophet what they were talking about in that bedchambers. And then at some point, the king had to say, what in the world is going on? Is somebody up in my bedchambers listening to what I'm talking about? So my point in saying that is this. When you serve the Most High, you're talking about the Creator who is all-knowing, okay? If he wants to reveal something to you about somebody that you may have had contact with, he's going to bring that to you. And then when he brings that information to you, that lets you know whether or not they're being led by the Most High or whether or not they're being led by the adversary. Because we ran across these people years ago. Where are they at today? Did they get closer to it, what it is that we're supposed to be doing, or have they been moved further away from what it is that we're supposed to be doing? Think about that. We've come across various people. But if they were being moved by Ruach HaKodesh, they should be getting closer to where the Most High has been leading us. Hold up, brother. There you go with that arrogance again, like y'all in the truth. Well, if we're not in the truth, by all means, let's establish that by his word. For the most part, anything that the Creator reveals, the Murei of Bet Yahweh, goes through the Holy Scripture to establish why we believe that. If there's something that we're incorrect about, we ask the Most High to shed light on that. But if there's something that somebody sees that we haven't seen, bring it to the table and let's talk about it. Let's reason in that word about it. Okay? So now, again, the point is this. If it's a false prophet or a false prophetess, they will continue in that error because they're not being led by Yahusha. We have to keep that in mind. Okay? Now, a couple passages. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, 15, he says, and marvel, for how Satan himself is transformed into or masquerading as, just like he said, beware the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Same thing. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, that answered our question. If a true prophet speaks the word of Yah, a false prophet speaks the word of Hasatan. Because based on this, Brother Saul letting us know, Hasatan got ministers. He got servants. Therefore, it is no great if his ministers also be transformed or are masquerading as the ministers of righteousness who's in according to their works. Okay? Now, I want to get through some passages before my time runs out. In 1 Kings chapter 18, right? I'm going to go down to verse 17. It says, when Ahab saw Eliah, Ahab said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken Yahweh's commandments, and you have followed the Baalim. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel, and 450 of the prophets of Baal and 400 of the prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Now, we want to make a point with this. At this particular time, you basically have 850 prophets. What we got to keep in mind, these wasn't no Gentiles. These wasn't no people that's supposed to be outside of the nation. This was 450 plus 400 Israelites. You got 850 Israelite prophets of Baalim. That's what we got. But the point that we don't want to lose sight of is this. Eliyahu, at this time, is just the one. Picture that's being painted here, family. The nation split. You had Ba'it Yisrael, you had Ba'it Yehuda, right? You had the majority of the tribes, and you had the minority of the tribes. Okay? Now, in 1 Kings chapter 22, it says, they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. This is starting at verse 1. 1 Kings 22, 1. Verse 2. In the third year, Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said to his servants, you know that Ramoth Gilead is ours, and we do nothing, and don't take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. He said to Yehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? Yehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. So at this time, you have Israel and Judah working together. Verse 5, Yehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire first for Yahweh's word. Okay, you hear what he said? Verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, should I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or should I refrain? They said, go up, for Adonai will deliver it into the hand of the king. But listen to what Yehoshaphat said. He says, isn't there here a prophet of Yahweh that we may inquire of him? But hold up. Let's go back. Yehoshaphat initially asked him, please inquire first for Yahweh's word. Then he goes and gets these 400 men. So in his mind, I'm inquiring of Yahweh's word. These 400 prophets right here, they're going to give me Yahweh's word. But then when he said that, hold up, isn't there here a prophet of Yahweh that we may inquire of him? And then the king of Israel said to Yehoshaphat, yet, he said, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of Yahweh. Hold up. You mean to tell me you know these 400 prophets ain't going to give you the word? That's what he basically said. But there's this one prophet we know when he speaks, he's going to inquire of Yahweh. But listen to what he said after that. Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, evil. Yehoshaphat said, don't let the king say so. In other words, this king, he knew that there was a person who was going to tell him what Yahweh said, but he said, I don't want to ask him. He always telling me the bad stuff. In other words, don't tell me what the word of the Most High is. Prophesy to me lies and deceit. Tell me I'm going to have victory, even if I ain't going to have a victory. Tell me that Yahweh is with me, even if he ain't with me. Listen to that. But the point here is this. You had the 400 prophets, but then you had the one. The majority, and then you had the minority. And according to the Torah, the scripture said that we should not follow a multitude to do evil. Doesn't make a difference. And this has been emphasized in regard to Hebrew Israelites and black Jews today. Okay? Those who lay claim to those titles, they are in the majority. Okay? They're in the majority. Brother sent out a video some time ago, and it's funny because prior to the brother sending this video out, I had seen the video, and I was thinking about sending it out. But then I said, for what? They don't believe in the truth. But anyway, it was a group of Israelites. It's the ones that wear all the purple. Now, this was back in 2020 sometime. This was around the time when the George Floyd and all of that was going on. So they came up in numbers. You know, they were doing that little march. Whatever they was doing, wherever they was going, I don't know. But it was a lot of all of them. And I'm saying this based on what I know in regard to what they believe. They're not teaching the truth. So what difference does it make? That's because they're the majority. What that mean? I got to get my purple coat, I mean my purple little thing with the little fringes all around the border and put that on and rock it with them and stand by that side? Of course not. Now what that mean? Matter of fact, what you'll find in the next chapter, the prophet came to the king, Jehoshaphat, and condemned him for going to help Israel. He considered them to be ungodly. Why is the Creator putting these things here for us to learn about? He's teaching us something, okay? He said, let's go to, we'll read a little bit of this. This is Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah chapter 23. We were going to read down to verse 40, but I'm going to have to cut some of this out. I'm just going to hit some highlights, okay? All right, and it's headed lying prophets, okay? Concerning the prophets, my heart within me is broken, all my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom wine is overcome, because of Yahweh and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of the curse the land mourns, the pastures of the wilderness have dried up, their course is evil and their might is not right. For both prophets and priests are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says Yahweh. Okay? So he's saying that the prophet and the priest and Jeremiah went and prophesied to Israel. I mean to Yehuda, I'm sorry. Bet Yehuda. But notice that he's calling them profane, the prophet and the priest. Okay. Verse 12, therefore their way will be to them as slippery places in the darkness. They will be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil on them, even the year of their visitation, says Yahweh. Since I have seen folly in the prophets of Shomron, which is Samaria. Now that's a reference to Israel. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. In the prophets of Yerushalayim, I have also seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one returns from his wickedness. They have all become to me as Sodom and its inhabitants as Gomorrah. Listen to that. He's talking about Yehuda when he's talked about the prophets of Yerushalayim or Jerusalem. He says in verse 15, therefore Yahweh is Zevaot. And when he refers to himself as that, he refers to himself as being the commander-in-chief, Yahweh of armies, he says, concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Yerushalayim, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. Okay? Yahweh Zevaot says, don't listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They teach you vanity. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yahweh. They say continually to those who despise me, Yahweh has said. you will have peace. And to everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil will come on you. Listen to this. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh? Now, when you get a chance, that word in the counsel of, right, comes from the word sold, number 5475. It means a session that is a company of people in close deliberation by implication, consultation, a secret. In other words, confidentiality is at the heart of this term. Think about this. We look at a prophet, right? And this is what people don't understand. In order for a man to become a prophet, first and foremost, they're called at birth. Look at the history of Jeremiah, who scripture says he was ordained a prophet while he was in the womb. Matter of fact, it says before he was in his mother's womb. You look at John the Baptist, scripture says he had the Holy Spirit while he was in the womb. So you're talking about a man or a woman, okay, who is chosen by the Most High before they enter this physical realm. Number one, we got to understand. When they enter this physical realm, there comes a point in their life where the Most High has to introduce himself to them. Look at what we learn in regard to Shamuel or Samuel. The Most High is going to call them, okay? And they're going to stand before the Most High, and he's going to give them instruction. See, all of these stories, these various narratives that we read are there for a reason. But you look at the world today, well, I think I'm going to become a teacher. I think I'm going to become. See, what makes it bad is to me, personally, you got these people, well, I'm prophet so-and-so. I'm apostle this and that. Where do you see in the scriptures where any person that the Most High call ever refers to themselves as that? Oh, I'm apostle this. Oh, I'm such as, you know, nobody does that. I'm prophet Jeremiah. No, somebody else may have acknowledged them, but they never introduced, hi, how are you today? My name is prophet Jeremiah. Nobody does that. But that in and of itself lets you know what spirit is moving them. He says, now this is what I want y'all to do. Here's some homework for y'all. Look up the word soul, number 5475. Look at it in the ancient Hebrew lexicon of the Bible, okay? And what you're going to find, the other terms that had the samech and the dalet, they all have something in common. The commonality is that they have some connection to the term to be level. And what that means, to have balance. When something is level, that means balance. That means you're standing on something that's firm, okay? It's a foundation. Look that word up because it's significant, because it ties into when the scripture says in Amos 3:7, surely Adonai Yahweh will do nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. It says, for the froward is abomination to Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteous. So the things that the scripture referred to as being something that was given in confidentiality, it belongs with, so there's a possibility then where things that may not be easily accessible, reading the scriptures at face value, we can learn those things because he revealed it in his word. If he revealed it in his word, that means that we can go deeper, we can go further so that we can understand these things. And it's by his word. But let's get back to Jeremiah. And my apologies, family, I'm not going to be able to finish this. I want to give you, there's something that I definitely want to touch on, so I'm going to hit some passages. In Jeremiah 23:21, he says, I didn't send these prophets, important. He says, how shall they preach except they be sent? He says, I didn't send these prophets, yet they ran. I didn't speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have caused my people to hear my words. See? And would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Okay? I'm just skimming through. If you get an opportunity, let me just give it to you to go back and read at your convenience. I was going to read Jeremiah 23, verses 9 to 40. Okay? And I was going to read Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. Okay? When you get an opportunity, go back and read those passages, and you'll see what the Holy Scripture teaches in regard to the false prophet. But there's one thing I wanted to touch on definitely before we close out. In 2 Peter, or 2 Kepha, he says, "But among the people there were also false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you. Under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, and thus bring on themselves swift destruction." Now, of course, we heard this verse before, but the focus here is the term heresies. He said, under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresy. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. It said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," okay, "in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit," keep that in mind, "which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies." Heresies is considered to be a work of the flesh. Heresies is what the false teachers are going to bring in under false pretenses to introduce, to destroy from within. Now, let's look up the word for heresies in the Greek lexicon. You find it under number 139, and it's the actual word, haheresis, haheresis. And, of course, that's where the term heresy is derived from. It says, it's derived from number 138. It says, properly a choice. That is specifically a party. When it says a party, think about Republican Party, Democrat Party, et cetera. Abstractly, disunion. Heresy is the Greek word itself. Let me read this. This is coming from the Word Study Dictionary, from the Greek section. Heresy, a form of religious worship, discipline, or opinion, in contrast to schisma, tearing apart. Heresy may represent a divergent opinion, but still be part of a whole. Think about that. And that, I thought, was very significant when it comes to false prophets, false teachers. When it says they're going to bring in these divergent teachings or destructive teachings, the intent and purpose, I'm going to bring this doctrine in here, and I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to still be among you, and I'm going to spread this heresy with the intent and purpose of destroying this body from the inside. It says one can hold different views than the majority and remain in the same body, but he is a heretic. However, when he tears himself away, then he is schismatic. Heresy may lead to schism, which is when actual tearing off and separation occur. So when you think about the false teachers bringing in heresy, keep in mind what it is. These are people who are bringing in the doctrine, and the intent and purpose is to eventually break the congregation up or destroy the unity in the camp. That's why Brother Shaul said to mock those who cause division among you. And that's why I encourage, come across something and you have a question, you bring it to the more. First two more you should take it to, or the first two, not more, but the Gabbaim, Brother Mara'al, Brother Shafu'al, that's your first line. If they are unable to answer that question, they will bring it to the Moray. And the Moray, they will discuss that question, and they will come back with an answer. I encourage you, if you come across something that somebody else is teaching, and we've already been taught, one of the Moray said, don't eat from everybody's plate. Just because somebody say I'm a Hebrew Israelite, or just because somebody say I'm a black Jew, does not mean they're not a false prophet or a false teacher. Go back and read the passage in Jeremiah. Go back and read the passage in Ezekiel. Again, my apologies for not getting to that, but Alvin wanted me to speak what it was spoken, and thus and so, that's what was spoken. So I'm going to stop right here and just encourage everybody to stay in prayer, as always, because the further we move in this way of life that we call Torah, the adversary is going to amp up his defenses to prevent anybody else from accepting the Torah and, if possible, cause schisma and break us away from it. So y'all want to stay in prayer. In Yahusha HaMashiach's holy and most precious name, we beseech thee, Heavenly Father, to bless us with your grace, your mercy, your compassion. Forgive us our sins that we've committed against you, knowingly and unknowingly. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all this. Hallelujah.
Because you have rejected his name.